Are you sick of hearing you don't have enough experience to get work? Visit iPath.com to get the first part of our auto damage certification for free. Hello and welcome to the Independent Adjuster Podcast by iPath. My name is Chris Stanley, and we're here to help you figure out how to get work in this industry and ultimately how to claim your life.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, Kobe Hearn back with you with another exciting episode of the Independent Adjuster Podcast. I'm here with my fifth and final installment of this kind of mini series, like the podcast within a podcast that all ties back to my first one with Life, Liberty, and Opportunity. These have all kind of been in sequence, getting you to continually think about life, liberty, and opportunity as I explained it in the first one. And now here we are at the fifth and final. It's the last, but not least in the series by any stretch of the imagination. It's now that we've covered these different topics of onboarding, what to track, franchise versus independent, these big questions I've had continually asked over the past several months. The next question that I really want to address is setting rates and leveraging your business. And I would really entitle this leverage for your business because, look, most of my podcast that I do is a lot of starting out in business and sustainability in business, but putting profits back into your processes is something I stress. So let's talk about leverage in your business. Okay. So here we go. Number one, when you get into as a newbie, you have no leverage, right? You're brand new. You're learning. Whether you're a property adjuster or an auto damage appraiser, you've got to learn. And firms will take a certain amount of new or green, quote unquote. But as you gain experience, they're going to tell you when you start out, they're going to say, hey, this is what we're going to pay you. And I preach that you take what you can get starting out. Chris Stanley's great about talking about you have to say yes to survive and no to thrive. So yes to survive, the mentality there is you just got to say yes to everything, right? It may not be super profitable. It may not be super beneficial to where you're trying to go for your business, but you want to take those opportunities. But this part, this podcast in particular is about once you've gained 6 months, a year of experience, that firms have trust in you, they're starting to ask more of you. What can you do in this situation? A lot of questions I get are about your rates or about different types of claims and should you start taking them on, or they're asking me to do this, but I'm not sure I know how to. So let's get into it. Let's give you some tips and some tricks and some things that I've learned and some things around the industry that I'm hearing that I really think you need to consider when looking back at life, liberty, and opportunity. So number one, okay, understand where your experience level is at currently, okay? Like when I first started, I didn't know what I didn't know. I got a ton of hail claims when I started out. And I thought I knew how to do hail claims with some courses I thought after about 10 or 15, I was really good at it. And then I got supplements back that were huge, $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 supplements because I just really didn't know the ins and outs. Now, if I go write a hail claim, I would lay odds that I'm going to be within a couple grand, if not really close. And there's some hail estimates shops don't even submit supplements for because I'm pretty dead on accurate, right? Same way with RVs. If you know me, I teach recreational vehicles at IAPath. I have a lot of experience because I've gotten a lot of recreational vehicles, RVs, campers, fifth wheels. I do a lot of ATVs and UTVs. And by that experience comes leverage, okay, in the industry. But I'll get to that in a moment. But you want to assess where your experience level is with certain types of claims, right? If you're a newbie property adjuster, if you're just starting out,
you have zero leverage, okay, over a firm. Even if you're in an area, which I'm getting ready to get to my second point, that has a huge need for leverage, where you could potentially use leverage, you just don't have the experience. You're more work than what an experienced adjuster is or appraiser. But again, this is about the experienced person. Now, but you want to be able to analyze and dissect, what is it you're really good at? What are you really experienced at? And that's not a self-evaluation. Some of it's self-evaluation, but you need to talk to your firms. You need to see, are you getting revisions and rejections? And what are they? What are you not getting revisions? Look at your supplements. I will tell you right now, supplements or reinspections will tell you the tale of how good you are. If you're getting supplements that are $500, $1,000 for regular auto claims, you're doing really well, okay? But if you're getting massive $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 supplements all the time still, and you're having to total vehicles that you didn't total out or in property, you're doing an inspection and you're saying there's no hail on that roof, and then comes back and comes to find out that there's that roof is totaled or that siding was hit and you're missing those big things. Oh, and you're not close in your estimatics, at least in some way, shape, or form, then you may not have enough experience, and that's okay. But for those of you that have been working for a while, do a really good job, communicate well, status files are always on top of things, turning over a good work product to these firms, that's number one. Once you've established that, right, like I just went through for me, RVs, think ATVs, UTVs, light auto, I've got down hail damage, things of that nature. And again, you may end up to where a lot of different types of claims are in your wheelhouse and you're very experienced because you've gotten enough of them. But experience comes with time. But we're getting into the leverage conversation. Number two, you want to assess your area. What kind of volume do you have? Okay. That will tell a tale or a story as well. If you're having to beg and scrap and claw for every claim, okay, that means that you've probably got a few other appraisers or adjusters in your area taking claims, okay, that are ahead of you. Or it may mean your area is not a high demand area for claims in general, that they just don't have a lot, okay? So that determines what your leverage could potentially be, right? Because if you're that guy or gal out there that they're always bombarding you with claims, that you're having to reject claims because you just simply can't get to them, then you have to realize really quickly that you're in need. There is a demand for your services in that area. That your area dictates that there's way too many claims for who they can get to help. Because believe me, while they love having one great quality appraiser like you potentially handling all of their claims, they know it's unrealistic to ask to send you 15 claims a day for a month straight and think that you're going to be able to turn those in the time that they need it turned. So that will give you a really good idea what kind of demand what your services are, how in demand your services are. That's what I'm trying to say. Also, I will tell you, this is a huge compliment, and I know some of you get frustrated by this because I hear about it, but when you reject a claim or say, hey, I'm unable to get to that until next week, I can't handle it, or it's pretty far out of my territory for what I'm covering, I've got a healthy claim load, and they send it back and say, please, will you please handle this claim? We need you to handle this claim. That should be one of the utmost compliments that you can get in this industry for a couple reasons. One, it means they really need you, okay? They are willing to tell you and practically beg you to take that claim because they need you and they're not scared to admit it. Number two, that your skills and your abilities speak for themselves and that they want you to handle that claim, that they're not going to go out and try to find someone else. They want you and need you to attempt to handle that claim. Okay. And then the last part of that is that they trust in you. They appreciate the communication. So that's a huge compliment. And while, yeah, you may be frustrated in the moment, just realize that's a huge compliment. But with understanding that, those are the two things that go under leverage and setting your rates. Because I wanted to set that preface or that precursor of, number one, where's your skills and experience at? And number two, what's your area bearing as far as volume, or what is the demand for you and your services? If you're getting, on that same topic of demand, if you're getting more firms asking you to take work from them than you really want or can handle, again, that's another big sign that you have some potential leverage there, or you are in demand. And just a simple, kind of a tangent here that I want to touch on is just understand supply and demand, right? It's a simple, simplistic, right? The more in demand it is, the higher the price goes up. The lower demand, the lower the price goes. If I've got 1 billion potatoes, I'm not going to be able to charge $5,000 a potato, okay? But if I have only 5 top vehicles in the world that's been manufactured, that would be the only vehicle. If I've got 5, what, Lamborghinis, and only they're the 5 only made in the world, they're going to be worth a mint. So look at it that way. So getting into this, those are the two metrics you're really going to look at when talking about leverage. Now, it's something in our industry that cannot be ignored or unrecognized anymore. There is a massive shortage in quality appraisers and adjusters alike, okay? It has been for a while, but it's getting more and more prevalent. And with cost of living continually going up, with the fact that you're paying for your own software and all of these different expenses, you really need to start thinking about it in the sense of leverage and demand, okay? Now, look, if you're sitting in the middle of Dallas as an appraiser or an adjuster for that matter, there's a ton of people that work in Dallas as appraisers and adjusters, okay? Now, you go somewhere like Fargo, North Dakota, there's not probably, there may be one person, maybe, if that. But there's a lot of these areas. There's more areas out there that are having people cover large territories or areas because there's no one else doing it. So that in turn gives you leverage in this industry, and you need to leverage your abilities and your qualities as an appraiser and as a business serving. You start out, you're gaining their trust, their business, showing that you're worth it. But then you need to really start discussing or really start assessing, as you've got a steady flow of business, maximizing profits. And you're not holding firms hostage. I don't want this to be a hostage negotiation or something of that nature, but you need to be able to leverage your skills, right? If you can write RVs and heavy equipments and all kinds of specialty, and you understand and can write classic cars, you need to be getting paid for your time. Even with light autos, even with just standard residential, run-of-the-mill hail roof claims or small, property type claims, you've got to understand that if you handle files really well and have proven yourself, you're worth more than the starting person out there, than the person that just started. Or even there's people out there, I can attest to this, that I've seen that have 5 or 10 years of experience in this industry that are mediocre at best. So if you stand out and they're showing you and giving you these signs that I've mentioned that you're in demand and they want you handling their claims, then you need to leverage it. Say, and again, there's a certain level of risk of how far you push it or torque leverage, because if you've
ever taken, I'm not saying you're going to break a crowbar here, but you start putting a lot of pressure, stick a plank of wood under something to lift it up, you put enough pressure and that wood will break. So that's the caveat here. But have discussions about, hey, look, guys, I've got a ton of business. I love working for you guys. With gas prices where they're at, with my time that's invested into these claims, and I would even ask questions of, do you feel like I do a really good job? Do you feel like I provide quality work? And that's where you start having negotiations. Look, I'm happy to handle your claims. But for me to have to go outside of a certain area, or that with this free mileage of 60 free miles or whatever you're giving, or your expenses and hotels or whatever for prop, it's a negotiation. Look, you want me to handle your claims and you need to pay me, because isn't it worth the additional for auto, the $5, $10, $15 boost to pay me? Even in desk writing, isn't it worth another $5, $10 for per claim, or, you know, per hour for time and expense for me to handle that claim versus someone else? Because you don't get any problems with me. You don't get complaints or complaining with me. You get the job done quickly. Your clients like me. You like me. I love working for you. Let's make this work for everybody. Because, look, obviously the firms have to make money, and they've got a lot of overhead with certain staff members and whatnot. But at the same time, you've got to understand that whether it's auto or property, they're making a percentage off of you. They have a fee bill that they're billing out, and they're going to have to start raising rates. Okay. The days of them taking business from firms because of massive volume that they have are starting to fall by the wayside, because that's still a ton of time to handle those claims. And it requires more and more expertise these days. Look at the types of vehicles we have now. This isn't 40 or 50 years ago, where all cars were built basically the same, and repair processes are, you know, light years ahead of where they are now. And there's a lot of different processes and procedures. Look at Tesla. That's a great example. Teslas are built so differently, and electric vehicles, they're not from Mars or some outer space, interstellar space travel vehicle. But in the same sense, you got to know what you're doing. You've got to take pride in your craft. You've got to research. You've got to learn. There's always continued learning, and repair processes and times are always being updated. And the best way to give an example of this, if you've been working in this industry for a year or two, just whether it's a contractor or a body shop, look at the rates and what they have went up just to stay in business. And they're a really good example, because they're in business for themselves, okay? And they're not going to survive continually, you know, given the rates. Just to give you an idea, in my area, just a couple of years ago, the rates were standard at $56, okay, for body labor. They're now pushing. Shops are now pushing $65 to $70, and it's continually going up. Why? Because there's a labor shortage. They can't find people that will work, and the people they find, they have to pay a lot more money. That good to find quality mechanics or people, they have to pay them a heck of a lot more than they used to. If you want a good person, you're going to have to be competitive, right, with your pay. So they're paying them a lot more, but in turn, those shops have to still make money. The shop's not in business just to pay money to mechanics. And your business is not in business just to break even. It's in business to make and maximize profits and make money for your time that you spend. Those are great conversation points. Like, shops are going up. Gas is going up. Everything's going up. The cost of everything continually goes up. That's a fact. So rates that have been the same in our industry for probably 5-10 years have to go up. Fee bills have to go up. So everything's going up, and that's the other thing. If you're having the conversation with the firms and having a good relationship and rapport, it's, look, yeah, you were paying me $60 a claim, but with my experience and what I bring to the table, I'm worth 70. I'm worth an extra $10 a claim.
And knowing that you need someone in this area, you never have to worry. I will make sure your claims are handled. And to give you an idea, guys, a lot of you have asked about the rates. So I'll take this moment to speak on rates. When you start out, if they ask you for rates, great. There's a lot of resources, whether it's IAPath or the community or discussing with other appraisers or asking the firm what they are willing to start you at and go from there. What you get is what you get, though. A lot of firms are now just saying, this is what we'll pay you for your area. And that's what they're going to pay you to start out. And you're probably lower than someone else in your area or a very experienced person, but that's okay because there's a certain learning curve when you start out. It doesn't matter if you have experience in the body shop for 20 years. There's a learning curve, I promise you, on this side of things. However, as you get moving, property pays in different ways, and I'm not going to speak on things I don't know. So I know how their fee bill or their structure, their pace works. Their structure, I feel, is just like the franchise that I've spoke about structure regarding fee bill. They get a percentage. You're not going to probably ever see that happen. It's going to be a set rate for auto. However, just know that there are auto damage appraisers out there with experience and a territory that they have the volume and need that are paying upwards of $80 per claim, not counting mileage. Some of them may even push 90. I've heard of it. I don't know those people. But setting your rates are based on what you're worth. What do you think you're worth? And that comes with confidence. It comes with more and more claims. And when you feel that, hey, I'm really knocking this out of the park, I'm getting small supplements, I know I'm handling these effectively and quick or turning them quickly, yeah, you can start asking for a higher rate. And guys, don't be afraid to ask. That's the worst thing in this industry, I feel like, is people are scared to ask questions or to ask for what they feel they deserve. And it's not, don't have the conversation like, I deserve this and this is bull crap if you don't give it to me. No. You need to be diplomatic and say, hey guys, I've been working for you guys for 6 months. I appreciate the rates and the start. It's getting more expensive and I'm getting more claims and I feel that I'm at a level now that I need to get this rate, or I'd like to ask for an increase of $5. Whether you give a reason or not, that's up to you. I like to typically give a reason or explain myself, but you don't have to. You can ask for it. And the worst they say is no, okay? But that'll let you know where you're at, especially guys and gals. If you've got 4, 6, 8 firms, and when we get into busy season of the summer months and hail claims are coming in or whatever it may be, and you're getting bombarded, it's a really good time to ask right before the season starts so you can prioritize. This is a good time is January through March to start asking about it for the upcoming year because, and even into the season, you can ask, especially if you're getting bombarded. But asking for it can help you prioritize, right? If firm A and B will raise your rates by $10, firm C will raise it by $5, and then firm D, E, and F said, no, we can't, then you can look at that and your volume and prioritize. But the really good firms out there all know that they need you. And you need them. It's a mutually beneficial relationship. Without you, they can't make money. That's a fact. And without them, you can still potentially make money. It's just, it's really hard, obviously, to get in with those carriers and get direct business from those carriers when they prefer to work with the firms. But you can still get business. You can still go out and be public adjuster or public appraiser or whatnot. Those are all opportunities. But the firms need us as appraisers and adjusters to make money. So understand that even if you are new, even if you're not as well-versed in certain claims as myself or others in the industry, that's okay. That doesn't mean that you deserve a ton less because you're still putting the blood, sweat, and tears into this and blood, sweat, and tears. I have been out there in 100-degree heat. I have been so frustrated, I've shed tears, or been so mad at something, I have shed tears. I have bled by getting cut on glass in cars, or get hood latch that cut me or got me, or being in some sketchy tow yards and getting my pants ripped or caught and cutting my leg. It's happened. So we're the ones in the field. We're the ones doing 70 to 80% of the work, okay? Understand that. We get the claim. We inspect it. We write the estimate. We deal with the shop. We deal with the supplement. We deal with all of that. We deal with the insured and claimant. The other 20% is the back-end admin, the dispatch, and the statusing, the carrier, whatnot, okay, work. But I would say 10% is that, and 10% is obviously the carrier adjuster applying the policy limits and their QC team and whatnot, which again is their optional coverage. But understand, you're doing 70% of the work. And I think property adjusters more than anybody can tell you you're doing 70% of the work, because they're getting, typically speaking, it's the fee bills around 60 to 70%. And for your top adjusters out there in property, they're getting 70% of that fee bill. Again, not all fee bills are the same. Not all firms are getting paid the same. But things are going to have to start going up. And you're going to have to draw a line in the sand of where it makes sense for you. The gone are the days are getting paid $45, $50 a claim and 30 cents a mile. If that's something you want to do and you're making money and you're happy with it because of volume, great. But I'm telling you, as a whole in the industry, that's not helping move the needle. And we all deserve more than that. We've got more time and more experience than that. Look at what a claim takes. Okay, let's take a light auto to give you some perspective. And I'm talking average time. Okay, not the super quick and not the super long, the average time. You've got your drive time there, okay, which I would say, with where you probably set your area, is 30 minutes round trip. That's probably a good average, okay? You spend 30 minutes. You probably spend somewhere on average inspecting and speaking to the insured 15, 20 minutes. I'd say 20, so we're at 50 minutes. I'd say you'd spend, let's see, you get home and you've got to get some admin data set up and all that kind of stuff, 10 minutes. So you're at an hour. And then if you estimate that claim and get everything wrapped up, appraiser report and all that, when you really boil it down on average, you're spending, I would be willing to guess, an hour to an hour and a half per claim. Okay. So really, when we're discussing this, when you're thinking about this and leverage, how much is an hour of your time worth? Okay. For a claim that you're getting paid $60 on, let's say, and in the example I gave you, 30 minutes, you're not getting mileage because almost always you're giving up free mileage as an appraiser. For property, you might be, but typically that's wrapped into a fee bill or however that works. But let's say it's $60 as an appraiser. You've got expenses. And if you go back to my other earlier podcast, you start breaking that down for gas, for your overhead. You may be making $35, $40 an hour on claims. And that's on an average. That's not horrible. Okay. But compare it to the rest of the contractors out there that do, you know, roofing contractors. Compare it to plumbers and electricians and skilled tradesmen and what they're making an hour. Okay. And take into consideration, you're running your own business. This is not the plumber that works for a plumbing company. They may be getting $25, $30 an hour, but that plumbing company is charging $95 an hour, okay, for their time, because they have to make money too. So as a business and having to do all of that work, you deserve what I would call a contractor fee, right? Because you've got to cover overhead. And why should your fee be any less than what the shop charges for labor for an hour? But again, I digress. More so, what I'm trying to tell you is you want to look at that and make sure it's worth your time. make sure that with the demand that's out there in our industry, with the need that's out there, you know, carriers, so I've heard firms say this, and I really don't like this saying from firms, is that they can't afford to pay you that much, or that's not, they can't give you any claims at that, or they don't think you're worth that much. Okay, good luck. Because the average age of an appraiser and adjuster is like 55 years old. In the next couple years, in the next 5 years, I would say 20 to 40% of our workforce is going to be gone out of this industry. There's no doubt in my mind that there's going to be staggering numbers leaving the industry. Okay. And there'll be a lot of people coming in or dipping their toes into this industry. Don't get me wrong. But those people right now, you people that are a year to 5 years into this, making a career out of this or plan to do this for a while, you guys are set up really nicely because the demand's going to only increase and the price for which is should increase. If we all get together and say, you know what, and I think even the firms are on board, that there's outdated rates and fee bills that have to be adjusted as they go into new contractor agreements or service agreements, because it's just not cutting it anymore, not for the expenses and everything else that you have to deal with in the claims process. So going into 2022 and beyond, understand or just keep in front of mind that you guys have a lot more leverage than you want to believe. And I'm not saying cut your nose off to spite your face, right? You want to continue to work and be sustainable in this industry, and you don't want to tick firms off, but you need to have those discussions. There's too many firms and too much work out there now and too many opportunities for work that you sit back and take less than what you deserve. And if you're not sure, feel free to reach out to me, to Chris Stanley, to Brad Fancher, to any of us, and we'll discuss and see what your skills are like. Hopefully, maybe there's some kind of skills assessment coming down the road that can help rate or grade you. I don't know. But I know that it is vital that we all in this industry, whether you're direct competitors or not for business, that we all start valuing our work more highly than what it is now. And it's just one of those situations where talking to certain firms and things and how hard they're looking. And to give you one ending example is my dentist office is no longer taking new patients. They've got 850 patients and 400 slots to fill over what's the first 6 months of this next 2022. And they were telling me they hired a headhunter and they could not find a dental hygienist. That 30% of them during COVID left the industries, went out on their own or whatever, or retired. So that's where we're getting in the workforce right now, guys. And with super high inflation bound to be coming with everything that's went on and the fact that more and more people are leaving and going out on their own, it is commanding a higher price for your service and your time and your work, especially when it's experienced and skilled labor. And make no mistake, just because we're not repairing that vehicle, just because we're not some plumber coming in and actually building a new bathroom or sink or putting in a new toilet, does not mean that we are not skilled labor. It takes skill to do what we do. If anyone could walk into this industry and easily handle the stress and the time management and the estimatics and the discussions with the insureds and understand policies and coverages and do what we do, we wouldn't have a shortage. I will tell you that right now. Not for what you could make in this industry. So understand leverage. And understand setting your rates. You should reevaluate your rates every quarter, but I would not really try to make rate changes, but maybe once to twice a year, depending on your volume, the need in the area, and how your experience has changed. Okay? That's what I would leave you with. And I wanted to end on this because, again, you know, where you were when you first started, when I first started versus where I am now is totally different in my life, in my liberty, and my opportunity. And we all want to make more money, but we all deserve the money owed to us for our skills and experience, for our training, for our, I think as I keep talking, I keep thinking, some of you guys started out with one or two licenses. Now you all are licensed in all 50 states or 48 or 36 or whatever it is. Those licenses cost money. You may have had to take multiple tests for those licenses. If you've got a New York license, that's super valuable, right? You may never do a claim in New York, but they definitely want you on their roster because you have one. So that's what they're looking for. It's the same with having you on their roster as a heavy equipment expert or a desk writer or a liability with what TJ teaches at IAPath. I think about that. There's always a demand for liability adjusters. I've talked to her about it. I've seen it, that they just can't get enough liability people. So you can command and demand a higher rate. Maybe not starting out. You may get a good rate even starting out because there's such a high demand and the industry calls for it to attract you. But even then, push the envelope just a little bit. And at the end of it all, guys, the reason I bring this up and the question's been asked so much is because I decided to talk about it was because, again, with examples, if you do 1,000 claims a year, okay, and you increase your fee bill by $10, that is an additional $10,000 of gross profit in your piggy bank that you didn't have, right? All by just raising your fee bill, your per claim fee bill. Same way you can do the same with your percentages as a property adjuster. If you're at 60% and you're able to get 70%, an extra 10%, if you look, that's even easier with your pay. If you made $100,000, right? Or you look at the total fee bills that they paid out on and the fee bills were $500,000 or $1 million, an extra 10% of $1 million, last time I checked, was what? $100,000. That's a major difference, right? That's why I'm talking about this. And I want you to just be cognizant of where we're at in the industry and where it's heading. And people, they love to talk about the AI and the technology. Those are all going to be tools to make your job easier. But what's funny about technology is that double-edged sword of it may make your job easier. But guess how much more skilled you have to be to fly a drone? You have to do some training. You have to do some courses. You have to make some investments into drones, okay? Buying the drone, maintaining it, whether it's using Hover or Matterport or how to read those reports. It all takes skill. It all takes experience. Eagle View, whatever it may be. With auto, they're talking about estimate software that can look at a car and write it X amount of lines for you or potentially write the whole estimate. Sounds cool. But they still need someone to be able to go in and diagnose and dissect and make sure that's flowing the right way. And then you've got to really have experience, right? Because if that thing's writing total loss, $30,000, $40,000 estimate, you've got to go in there and you didn't write it. And you've got to look at pictures and you've got to look at what it wrote and why it wrote it the way it did and work with shops. Again, all of that takes skill. So while it may make your job quicker or more efficient, you have to be highly skilled to work technology. Think about it. Think about all the computer skills you have to do to be able to operate your job now. How many skills you have to have on a phone to do your job now. It's a requirement. So the skills are required, right? There's more things that are required, more things that you must have or acquire. So at the end of this all, to summarize, understand what your leverage is. Look at your volume, look at your area, what it's yielding, what need they have, what firms are asking, how many firms are wanting to give you business, and then look at your experience and continually assess that and make sure you're pushing the needle up. And I end on this. It's not just for you. It's for our industry as a whole. And look, I'm not saying stick it to firms. I'm not saying stick it to carriers, but what I'm saying is make sure you're getting paid what you're worth, because I can promise you the firms, while they care, they're out to make money for themselves. And I can promise you another thing, they're going to get theirs. So if all the appraisers across the country go up on their rates by $10 or $15, guess what? They're going to pay it, or they're going to go to the carrier because they'll renegotiate contracts. They'll make that money up somewhere. Okay. They need us and we need them. So we need to work together. And again, carriers are making money. Don't worry about that. They're always making sure they're making money and worried about them, but they're going to try to pay the least amount possible for the highest quality of service. That's what they're trying to do. Insurance is all about, you hear the word, cost effectiveness. So everything they do is trying to be cost effective. Hate to tell them, hate to tell you, but what we do is not something that is, how do I want to say this, guys? It's not something you want to, that's not where you want to cut corners. That's not where we should allow corners to be cut or money to be saved in our valuation, in our recommendations, and in our process. They want to cut money somewhere else or how they handle policies. If our rates go up, it's just a trickle-up effect of the firm's rate goes up and then the carrier premiums or whatnot go up. But again, it all comes back to make sure you're providing a superior quality service to those firms and to those carriers. It's all on a sliding scale of what makes sense, right? The better the quality directly correlates to the better the pay should be. So I leave you with that. I hope this helps you guys leverage yourselves and leverage your business and set your rates. And I didn't dive into what those rates should be because, again, it's trial by fire. It's what makes sense for you, and you've got to talk to other people because one area, New York's going to command a higher rate than South Dakota. That's just a fact, cost of living. But you have to look at your numbers. It goes back to the tracking, what to track in business so you know that you're profitable and how to maximize your profits. And last but not least, this all goes back to life, liberty, and opportunity, right? How you know, the better, the more leverage you have, the more plentiful opportunities are, and the better the opportunities become. Your liberties get better, financial freedom, obviously. But financial and personal freedom can go hand in hand because it can allow you to do a lot of other things, take time off. And then in your personal or professional lives, time is the one thing you can't get back. Time is the most finite resource we have. So make sure you're spending it and getting a premium back in return. I wish you all nothing but the best and the most success in 2022 and beyond. This has been the 5-part mini-series on life, liberty, and opportunity. I appreciate you so much for listening. I guess I will have more podcasts after this if you should so happen to want to listen. Appreciate Kobe Hearn here, been your captain, your takeover captain for the past 5 episodes that you've heard me over however long this has taken to play out. Please feel free to reach out to me at Koby@iapath.com. Email me your thoughts, whether you liked it, whether you didn't like it, if you've got questions, if I can help you in your career, whether you're part of IA Path or whether you're not. Always love to hear feedback. I wish you the best. Go out there and get it. And I really hope when I say this, and I just want to say that with Chris Stanley and what he says with keep walking your path and claiming your life, I really want you to know that from the bottom of my heart moving forward, I want you to keep walking your path and claiming your life. And I hope that my podcasts have helped you in some small way do that. Thank you guys for listening.
Are you dreaming of a career in auto damage, but find yourself not meeting the experience requirements? You can try the first part of our 7-part auto damage certification for free. This allows you to dive deep into auto damage training with no strings attached. And if you love it, you can continue on and purchase the full program. With this certification, you gain not just in-depth knowledge and skills, but also an all-access pass to our exclusive community. A full year of mentorship, and yes, get the 2 to 5 year experience requirement waived with over 40 firms. Your future in auto damage begins today. Visit iPath.com to start your free trial and discover where iPath can take you. iPath, claim your life.